This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1946. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this special edition, review of the Sanjian WR-22. An American station in Honduras. Why does station YHWH fluctuate? Trump threatens to defund WWV time stations. Bill Turner struggles to keep KYND on the air. XEWW 690 flipping from Mexican to Chinese communist. Standard disclaimer. This world of radio is going to be a bit different than you and I are accustomed to. A weekly attempt to keep up with all the latest news about shortwave primarily. Longtime listeners may recall that I formerly did another program, a spinoff called Continent of Media, which was about media around the American continent, not especially shortwave. This would later be released as a World of Radio Extra edition. Looking back through my archives, I see that I stopped doing this over 11 years ago. In July and September of 2007. Since then, I've hardly given myself a week off from World of Radio production. This time, I'm recording a program which will be released at an unknown future date when convenient. So if something has been outdated by subsequent events, please understand. But I'm just dealing with a few major topics which I never get around to on an ordinary World of Radio. I hope you find them of interest. These come from the DX Listening Digest, issue number 18-33, about which you can read them in full via worldofradio.com. Although the primary part of DX Listening Digest is an alphabetical order, country by country compendium of the latest news, below the wavy line, I have several other regular sections which are not about specific countries but other topics, one of which is Radio Equipment Forum, or REF for short. I've heard from a longtime listener in Clovis, New Mexico, Michael Lijewski, L-I-J-E-W-S-K-I. He says, I've been a fan of World of Radio since the early 90s when I got my first World Band receiver, a Radio Shack DX390. I've written a little review of the Sanjian WR-22. It's from his blog. It's at sixgunsighting.blogspot.com. The blog is mostly about Southwestern history, he says, but I like the WR-22 so much I wrote it up. The radio is AM and FM, no shortwave, but reception out of the box makes me think it would make a good radio for the casual medium-wave DXer and an excellent family radio. I guess I'm a little old-timey, but I don't like listening to the radio from the internet or cable. I like my radio on radio. So when my old Radio Shack DX390 gave up the ghost after 24 years, I was downright mournful. I wondered, do they still even make radios? Turns out they do. Not only that, but the table or tabletop radio, a type that went out of style in the early 70s, has made a big comeback. I started looking at Bose radios, but they were too expensive and really ugly. Then I browsed the Tivoli tabletop models. I don't think you'd find a better-looking radio out there, but the tuners, along with the rest of the controls, are mostly analog. I may be old-timey, but I love digital tuning and volume control. Finally, I looked at what Sanjian had to offer. They manufactured my faithful old Radio Shack model, and it was the best all-around radio I ever owned. Sure enough, Sanjian had jumped on the tabletop bandwagon and produced some great-looking radios that also had the modern specs I wanted. I ordered a Sanjian WR-22, which was delivered yesterday. It's a beauty, wood cabinet and a jet-black control panel with a big, bright, and dimmable display. It's heavy, too. I bet it weighs more than a dozen iPhones. The audio quality is great right out of the box, though I turned the bass way down. The overabundance of bass was due to the loudness setting being turned on. I turned it off, and that solved the bass problem. I've also read that placing the back of the radio too close to a wall can exaggerate the bass, as the woofer is on the back. Anyway, the audio quality has risen from great to perfect. It amazes me how these new tabletop radios can fill a room with music. It also has RDS, Radio Data System, on the FM, which tells you what station you're listening to and sometimes the song or program as well. It can also set the clock automatically, but only if the station keeps its time correctly. Are you listening, KENW? The radio has 5 preset buttons, just like the car, so everybody can have their favorite station in an instant. I like National Public Radio, but my girlfriend prefers Cow Country Radio. It also has a remote control, perfect for when you are across the room and the old swamp cooler kicks in, or when somebody starts snoring and you just don't have the gumption to get out of bed and turn up the volume. A word of caution, like so many things these days, this is a microprocessor control device, and you'd be wise to use it with a surge protector. Out here on the high plains, the biggest issue in a radio is often reception. Either you're 50 miles from the nearest broadcast tower, or you live in a canyon, or your house is covered in stucco on chicken wire, making reception difficult. Fear not, the WR22 has powerful tuners. Some have compared it favorably to the legendary GE Super Radio. It also has AM and FM antenna jacks in the back if you need to upgrade. It also has a clock, RDS or manual, with alarm settings, snooze, nap, Bluetooth, and a USB port for MP3 listening from a thumb drive, and probably some other good stuff too. The radio costs $128, which is $22 cheaper than my DX390 cost in 1993. Before taxes and delivery. Whether you listen to All Things Considered or Unshackled, country or Tejano, rock or R&B, this is the radio for you. Be sure and tune in for my next radio review in about 25 years, says Michael Lijewski in Clovis, New Mexico. Les Rayburn in Maline, Alabama, asks on the WTFDA Google group, has anyone ever logged 101.1 in Roatan, Honduras? I just virtually met the station owner, who's an expat American from San Diego. Their website with stream is at www.caribbeancloudradio.com, and of course, that's one word. I looked up the specs for this station in the WTFDA FM database, call sign HRTA on 101.1 megahertz. It has 2.5 kilowatts vertical only, 138 meters above average terrain, approximate coordinates 16 degrees 17 minutes north, 86.35 west, and it's known as Tropical Island Buzz Radio, and as you might expect, they play some English songs. As IGH recall, Roatan is a location where there's an American expat community. Rick Barton in Arizona often logs the Antichrist Pro-Yahweh Pirate on 7470 station YHWH during the local evenings, and has noted that the signal strength fluctuates widely. This leads Walt Salmoniv in British Columbia, who also picks up the station some, to comment on August 10th, 2018. Rick's comments got me thinking about why YHWH has such fluctuations. I pretty much hear exactly the same thing here in Victoria. Overall, modulation is quite low. Signal will drop to nothing at times and then suddenly jump back to a decent signal strength. This is not a gradual propagation variability, but more like the operator is in his shack, fiddling with his screwdriver, trying to get a bit more signal. The signal seems pretty stable frequency-wise, although I've not zoomed in on my Perseus SDR to be sure. Perhaps he's just having fun flipping the switch from 10 to 1 to 0.1 or 0.01 kilowatts or the like. Who knows? There's been lots of discussion about threats to WWV and WWVB and WWVH by the Trump-Pence regime because the fiscal year 2019 budget calls for eliminating these services. Here are just a couple of comments from Bill Harrison in Elgin, South Carolina first. It's hard for me to imagine not having a frequency and time standard on HF and VLF. It was always a necessity in my earlier SWL and ham radio days, and also during my military and State Department lives. I suppose the government has access to better means of frequency time measurement with satellites now, but it is still hard for me to imagine not having the on-the-air sources, not to mention that it will render all my atomic clocks and weather devices useless. All of these either depend on WWVB or WWV for a time source. Hopefully this will not come to fruition. From my many years of writing budget requests in the State Department bureaucracy, we quickly learned to fold drastic entries such as this into the budget request, knowing that it would probably boost our chances of getting our budget passed, rather than have someone make the decision to go ahead with such drastic cuts. Stay tuned, says William B. Harrison. Never one to mince words, Greg Hardison in California says, the National Institute of Standards and Technology is the parent agency maintaining the Federal Atomic Clock, which measures time with accuracy approaching a variation of 1 second every million years. Of course, Trump and his henchmen want to completely dismantle this somewhat vital function, along with many others, handled by NIST. So far, there has been virtually no publicity of this ridiculous move, at the time he wrote it. Trump continues to cripple and or completely eliminate anything and everything that doesn't directly benefit the top 1%, certainly including himself and his corrupt family, along with military defense contractors and whomever else is on the approved list, as dictated by Vladimir Putin. Please look into this and help spread the word of continued destruction by the Nazi-inspired Trump regime, says Greg Hardison. Well, as we've already reported, there is a petition at thewhitehouse.gov requiring a minimum of 100,000 signatures to get Trump to notice the problem. And even then, we're not so sure it'll make any difference, but we must at least try. Thanks to Artie Bigley drawing it to our attention, there was a thread at radioinsight.com concerning KYND 1520 in Cypress, Texas. That's the Houston market station, which has not really been programming for many months now, but has been on the air with something other than regular programming. It so happens that the engineer or operator of the station is on this forum, and he's been commenting on what's been going on. His name is Bill Turner, and I'm going to read especially his lengthy comment. He says, I'm putting the station on a day or two a week for not to be permanently silent, mostly when someone wants to run the signal. I'm trying to save my owners some money in hopes I won't be job hunting. He headlines this, Radio has beat me to a pulp. As some of you know, I have a day job managing a radio station in a top 10 market. I've been with the station 25 years as of last month, July. My market has 113 radio signals. 17 stations do what we do. We lease our broadcast day. We are daytime only without a translator but a good signal. It can be the easiest and yet the hardest job in radio. When you have a client, it's easy. You just keep things on the air and the check coming in. When you don't have a client, it is the hardest. The reality is it is a sign of weakness to need a station. It is a weakness for a station to need a client. Nobody knows who is looking for a station, and a station does not know who needs a station. It's usually an introduction or the entity happens to find you. At least selling businesses, you know it is a numbers game. Call on so many businesses and you'll find a yes. There are 17 stations in my market doing what we do. The demand is less than that, driving down prices. I'm thinking my owners didn't get that at first. After all, that was not the case when the last client bought. The last client broke their contract with about 2 hours' notice. They didn't pay and said they were broke, but were on another station the next day. That was last September. I took a pay cut. I lowered expenses. I still had to pull from savings. I began my hunt. I found several good ones, but my owners wanted too much per month. By the time they lowered the rate, those good ones found a radio home for the dollar amount they wanted. In November, I was told we were going dark in December if I didn't have a client. I was scared. In late November, I found a Plum potential client. We worked out a deal. He used us to get a better rate at another station after a month of negotiating. January came with a 50% pay cut. More trimming expenses in store. It is bare bones and I still tap savings. My owners stayed with it, but put the station up for sale. If they found a buyer, as is the case in radio, the staff is not retained. June came around. My owner said my job was done June 1st, and the station was going dark. I had a lead. I worked it. The offer was not anything my owners would say yes to, but I took it in, and they gave it the okay. Sure, we'd lose lots of money for months, but it was a start. The start date was to be August 1st. Now, it is August 1st. He didn't start. He didn't pay. They'd keep the station if I found a client. I'm trying to save this, but I don't think I can. The client wants to run promos in August, then start in September, giving us a check September 1st. He wants a month of benefit free, while my owners foot all the bills. I'm tired and feel beaten to a pulp. There have been deadlines where you never know if you had a job or a paycheck the next day. Today might be my last day at the station. I pity my owners. They have hung in there. They are in the same boat as me. Radio can be a cruel mistress. It's no different than any other business. I feel I need a long vacation, but I know I'd better not spend a dime. I've run through too much of my savings already. Radio has taught me to keep watch for that glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, even though you're getting all too familiar with the bottom of the barrel. You learn to walk the tightrope without a net. You carry on. I'm not the only one. Last week I talked to a guy in the same boat. Years of hard work and dedication, only to have the rug pulled out from under him, squashing his future like a bug. He's trying to create his future from thin air. He did all the right things. Life isn't fair. My lease is up at my place. If I have a job, a client, that's fine. If not, that's another situation altogether. While I have almost a decade to put into radio before retiring, I've seen my age and being overqualified as a negative. I'll have to find something. I wanted to be in radio because I love radio. I'll have to move if I'm done here. I'm lucky. I started behind the microphone 40 years ago, then programming, then to sales, and then management. I can pinch hit in most positions in a station. I may not be the best, but I can hold my own without a chip on my shoulder. My love of radio and my experience make me an asset. I'm constantly learning. So I'm just venting. I'm looking for that glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. Meanwhile, I carry on. I always have, and it always worked out. It will this time, too. By the way, my owners rejected the revision. I thought they would. If I had to make that decision, I would have done the same. I'm back to square one. I'm working two leads. I'm not promising. You just never know. The next call might be the one. That's by Bill Turner of KYND 1520 Cypress, Houston, Texas, on Radio Insight. He got some nice replies to that and posted this further reply as of August 13th. Thank you for the kind words. For some that are not in radio, they think we make big money and essentially play all day. In radio sales, they think we con and cheat folks. The reality is, I'm a negotiator. My work is to get as much as I can for my owner while making sure I offer the best possibility for success for my client. It's the only way we both win. It's my owners that sustain the loss for the client to get up to the rate we need, and you never get that back. So I have the challenge of lowering their loss without making it hard on the client to reach the financial challenge. Unfortunately, the guy that didn't follow through got a heck of a deal but never understood that. Let's say he'll never see that offer repeated anywhere in the market. I continue the two leads and find myself impatient at the time it is taking. You're listening to a special edition of World of Radio. Your contributions always welcome. By money order or check in U.S. funds on U.S. Bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Or by PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. That helps to support this non-commercial program and our non-commercial website and publication. There's been a lot of concern about a Tijuana station on 690, current call sign XCWW, flipping to a Chinese language format. Ramey Humbert, a young man in Phoenix, Arizona, has made himself an expert on Mexican broadcasting and publishes his results on the WTFDA forum under the title Ramey's Mexico Beat. About the XCWW situation, he says this: The proposed transfer of operational control of XEWW to a group that would broadcast programming in Chinese has hit an unexpected and highly unusual roadblock in the United States. The transfer of control, first filed for in July from Grupo Latino de Radio, an outright subsidiary of Prisa, to H&H Group USA, which is 97% controlled by Vivian Huo, H-U-O, and 3% by Julian Sant, S-A-N-T, would see the station remain fed from the United States. But the connections of the applicants are apparently raising alarms in Washington. The first report of interest came from the Daily Mail in the UK, headlined, Chinese Investors Purchase Mexican Radio Station. It reported that Vivian Huo is tied to Phoenix Satellite Television, a wing of the Hong Kong-based Beijing-aligned Phoenix TV. Yes, the same name as his city in Arizona. H&H and Phoenix share office space in Irwindale, California, which is also where the station's operations would be based. The conservative Washington Free Beacon, headlined National Security, Mexican Radio Beam Chinese Propaganda, reported the Trump administration launched a national security review. The FCC does have the right to block the transfer of U.S. operational control of the station. The principal concern is that pro-government Chinese propaganda would be part of the programming carried on XEWW after the sale. Huo denied any connection between Phoenix and H&H in an email to the Free Beacon. The objectors also include other radio stations serving the Chinese community in L.A., such as KQEV-LP. And according to the Free Beacon report, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican, Florida, who said the FCC must protect American security and economic interests and deny any attempt by the Chinese government to broadcast Communist Party propaganda and other programming into the U.S. He also said he would soon introduce legislation requiring registration of any Chinese government or Communist Party-owned media outlets with the government. If Phoenix is behind H&H, it would be their second attempt at buying a Southern California radio station. In 2013, Phoenix filed to buy KDAY 93.5 FM, according to LA Weekly, sparking not only outcry from the Chinese community, but also from listeners to LA's heritage hip-hop oldie station. That deal also fell through. In the American context, Chinese foreign investments have come under increased scrutiny amid concerns of strategic assets, and Chinese foreign investment in the U.S. has fallen 92% so far this year, according to money.cnn.com. The new NDAA signed into law further strengthens the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., CFIUS, and expands its purview, as explained in the South China Morning Post of Hong Kong, headlined, Donald Trump signs bill named after John McCain. Concerns about governmental propaganda from foreign powers have also been issues in Mexican radio in the past. They were most prevalent with border blasters during World War II. Foreign investment in a Mexican radio station is subject to the provisions of the Ley de Inversión Extranjera, Law on Foreign Investment, and the National Foreign Investment Commission, CNIE, which must, as in other sectors, approve foreign investment, also has the ability to block foreign investments for national security reasons. And Article 111 of the LFTR says, in no case shall the concession and the rights conferred therein, or the facilities, auxiliary, or dependent services, and the assets attached thereto, be ceded, levied, given as a loan, or in a trust, mortgaged, or transferred, in part or in whole, to a foreign government or state. The RTC will also need to, and likely will, approve the station broadcasting in a non-national language, like for stations such as XCPRS or Extra FM. So writes Ramey Humbert, and a reply from Doug Smith near Nashville, Tennessee, who knows a lot about U.S. broadcast regulations. The FCC has the power to regulate the transmission of programming from studios in the U.S. to a foreign transmitter, which is powerful enough and close enough to the border to be regularly received in the U.S. They cannot prevent Phoenix from programming XCWW from studios in Mexico or China, but they can prevent it from using studios in the U.S. Normally, applications for this permission are routine. All the ones I've seen involve Mexican stations, and usually Mexican stations broadcasting in Spanish, but to a U.S. audience. I see several a year, For example, there was an application for the CW to feed programming to XETV in Tijuana. I believe programmers feeding at least two Canadian stations would have required this permission. CKLW AM 800, Windsor, Ontario, was at one time an affiliate of the CBS and Mutual Radio Networks. Those would have required permission. More recently, CFLZ FM, Niagara Falls, Ontario, was programmed from studios in Buffalo, New York. Two AM stations in northern Washington State have programmed in South Asian languages for an audience in Vancouver. I don't know if their studios are in Bellingham or Vancouver, if the latter, FCC permits would have been required. All three recent moves fell afoul of Canadian regulations and have been terminated. Says Doug Smith, and Remy Humbert replies to that. That makes a lot of sense. If the FCC blocks the deal on national security grounds, the American nationals could conceivably turn around, find Mexican silent investors to cover either 51 or 75%, depending on how you read the reciprocity clause for broadcasting, incorporate in Mexico, and buy the station's concession outright. Given the whole business plan depends on programming from and for Los Angeles, however, that might not work. I don't think there's ever been a national security review in the U.S. for one of these authorizations. They're usually incredibly routine. There has been contestation. That is how XETV lost its ABC affiliation, ultimately in 1972, because KCST in San Diego made a ton of noise about the authorization in light of UHF policy. Doug Smith replies once more. There has been boilerplate text added in the last few years to Section 325C that makes the permit contingent on the station actually using the technical facilities that were approved by international agreement. Stations near the border must be coordinated between the U.S. and Mexican governments based on the proposed technical parameters. Programming and ownership do not enter into consideration here, only engineering. I know some years ago there was a belief, backed up by some amount of evidence, that at least one station had been constructed with a far higher effective radiated power into the U.S. than had been coordinated. As Ramey mentions, in the past, competitive considerations and UHF policy have entered into the equation when considering permits for TV stations in Tijuana. To my recollection, it has never come up anywhere else on the border. There are some stations elsewhere on the border in this situation, primarily in Texas, says Doug Smith. Again, all this discussion stems from the possibility that XCWW 690, just across the border from San Diego, would change ownership and change language to Chinese. Looking back at the complete story in the conservative Washington Free Beacon, here's a bit more about it from their point of view. Phoenix TV has been identified by U.S. intelligence agencies as a major overseas outlet used to spread propaganda and promote the policies of the communist government in Beijing. The Hong Kong television station also has close ties to China's intelligence service and military. The deal for XCWW, a 77,500-watt station capable of reaching all of Southern California, was brokered by New York financial company H&H Capital Partners. The sale, if approved by the FCC, will turn the AM radio station from a Spanish broadcaster into a Chinese language outlet, capable of reaching over 600,000 Chinese Americans living in the San Diego, Los Angeles area with Beijing's propaganda themes. Correction, Bill Turner's comments about KYND. We're at radiodiscussions.com, not Radio Insight. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio Special Edition.